Good morning. You are listening to The Beacon. Saturday morning to everybody out there. My name is Lainey Kleeman. I'm here as always with my friend and partner in crime, Mr. Brian Hawkins. Hey there.
Yeah, so what crimes did we commit?
Oh boy, you do not even want to know.
I'm thinking bank robbery.
It's diabolical. Yeah. I was practicing my diabolical laugh over here.
Yeah.
Well, TJ's got it.
You did pretty good with that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I've learned from the best. Yes, my son is here. I don't know if you can hear him, but he's doing his diabolical laugh in the background as well. Mm-hmm. So he's taught me a thing or two about the evil laugh. bank robbery. All right, we'll put it on there. Although, I don't know, like, do we really want to put ourselves out there like that?
Well, you know, I've been scouring YouTube, and there's, I think I saw a documentary about John Dillinger, as if I hadn't already seen it, but...
Right. Netflix has all kinds of cool, like, true crime documentaries.
Yeah.
I love it. Netflix is like, I don't know, I feel like in the last, even just the last couple of weeks, their repertoire of interesting things to watch has exploded.
And they have lots of shows about prison, too.
Yes. Oh, I love that. All the true crime, all the documentaries about people in prison. I was watching one, like, I think it was called I Am a Killer or something, and it's just straight up in the prison with these people who are just saying, yep, I did it. It's kind of intense and crazy. Have you watched Mindhunter on Netflix?
I saw one episode, but then I just haven't seen it anymore.
It's really good. It's very, very phenomenal. And it gets better the more it goes on, like the more invested you get in it. It's phenomenal. But I like the forensic psychology stuff. Like that's always kind of been something I always thought I might get into. Like even when I was in high school, that was my fallback. If acting didn't work out, I was going to be a forensic psychologist. And then that didn't happen either. But regardless, well, it's still something I have an interest in.
Well, you're on the radio show. Well, you know, there's what I do with Netflix is there are websites where you can go to and they will tell you how many episodes you have to watch before a show really gets to you.
Really?
You get interested, yes. So I, you know, look for those particular shows because, you know, I don't want to have to watch like 50 episodes before, hey, this is pretty good.
Right.
Yeah, so I do that.
So you'll jump in, like, if it says, hey, by episode 4, this will really get you. So you skip the first 3 and just dive into episode 4?
No. I'll start from the beginning, but I don't want to wait in, like, episode 8 and see all those shows, and then all of a sudden, hey, this is getting good.
Right.
You know, I'll leave those for later. I'll still watch them, but I usually want to go for the ones that catch you
right away. What? That's interesting. What website is it?
Well, you just have to do a search.
Okay.
You just ask Netflix episode where they become interested.
Okay. Something like that. Google will figure it out for me, I'm sure. It'll decipher my question.
Right. So that's the pretty good. But an interesting week, huh? Lots of stuff.
Lots of stuff going on.
Yeah, we've got a new Supreme Court judge, mm-hmm, and Hurricane Michael.
Yeah. So, here's my question about Hurricane Michael is, so Hurricane Florence came through the Carolinas a couple of weeks ago, and there was news everywhere about Florence, right? Like, you couldn't turn a corner without hearing about the devastation of Hurricane Florence. I feel like Michael is twice as bad and getting about half the coverage.
Really?
That Hurricane Florence got. Yeah.
Well, they're saying that Michael is the third most powerful, at least in the panhandle, since there was a hurricane in 1939, and then there was Camille in 1969, and so
right,
here comes Michael, and Camille was pretty bad.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but I don't know. I've heard some devastating things about this. One lady named Kaylee O'Brien, she was crying because in her apartment, about 4 pine trees broke through the roof. and devastated her apartment. Unfortunately, no one was hurt, but
hopefully they evacuated
her. No, they didn't.
They didn't. How can you not?
Well, they were saying that it came up so fast that a lot of people didn't have a chance.
Holy smokes. I mean, the pictures that they're showing, it was like a war zone. It was like a bomb went off all over the panhandle. It's really, really intense. But I feel like the news sources that I pay attention to, you know, Florence got a lot of coverage, and rightfully so, but I feel like Michael is getting, you know, I mean,
not as much.
And I mean, the winds hit land at 155 miles per hour. Like, that is incredible to me. I don't think in my time on Earth I remember hearing about a hurricane that had so much speed and like the torrential winds and this is a first for me.
Yeah.
Well, so
just imagine, like I said, Camille was worse than the one they did name from 1939. So yeah, this is pretty devastating. Maybe it's because the other hurricane happened not so long ago that there might be some, I guess, fatigue amongst reporters in terms of
maybe. Yeah, that could be, because Florence did get all of their attention for, I mean, weeks leading up to it. It feels like they were kind of tracking that storm for a long time, and then it finally hit. And while it was kind of a catastrophe, it wasn't as disastrous as all the predictions were making it, right? Like, it was still, and tragic things happened. So not to trivialize Hurricane Florence by any means, but I think there was such a buildup to it. And then it was just, you know, it wasn't what they thought it was going to be. So maybe it's, you know, like you said with Michael, it's just kind of like the reporters are fatigued and, you know, they've kind of been there, done that. So who knows?
Yeah, it was about 388,000 homes that were destroyed.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about Michael, it went from Category 4 and then it went down to 3.
Right.
Went into Georgia and then I guess all the way down to 1. But
and it was a fast-moving hurricane, it sounds like. It didn't, like Florence just sort of camped out, you know, kind of came in and hung out for a while. And I think Michael just sort of, you know, like flashed through everything and left just a trail of devastation in its wake.
Yeah, so Godspeed to all of those folks.
Absolutely.
President Trump said he'll be there next week to view the damage and hopefully people will quickly recover from that terrifying hurricane.
Yeah.
But another thing that happened close to home, unfortunately, you know, the job situation for a lot of folks, not too good, particularly the folks at Treasure Island. There were layoffs and the loss of job benefits and all of those things.
What happened? Are they closing the stores?
I don't think they are. They may be downsizing. But, you know, you always get that news. And then some jobs are available, then other jobs are being phased out. And that brings us to our first segment. We've got Joseph Conway. He's the traditional employment specialist of the Chicago Lighthouse's job placement program. And Adnana Sirik sat in with him. She's the job placement and intake counselor. So, you know, this is National Disability Job Month. So we were talking about the program in which individuals can come and get some instruction and prepare themselves to get out there and try and get employment.
Perfect. Well, it sounds like we have the guests on who are experts in that field, and it's a great month to have people on who can help us kind of navigate through, especially talking about downsizing and layoffs and da-da-da-da. Like, we got to keep our heads up and keep focused and, you know, bring an awareness to our community about, you know, really the benefits in hiring people with disabilities and all the wonderful things that come along with that. So it's good to we have our friends on today who can enlighten us a little bit. And then we've got all our usual suspects on the show as well, yes?
Yes, Sandy and Brett will be here with something they highly recommend. And we have the awe factor.
Awe factor.
And we've got Luke's laboratory. So
beautiful.
Everybody, just stay where you are. Enjoy your coffee, your breakfast, all those things. You're listening to The Beacon, public service of the Chicago Lighthouse here on WCPT 820 AM.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and
in the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
In the studio with me now is Joseph Conway, Transitional Employment Specialist of the Chicago Lighthouse's Job Placement Program, and Ednara Sarek, Job Placement and Intake Counselor. Good morning to both of you. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
Good.
All right. Now, we're here to talk about the Job Placement Program. Of course, this being October, it is National Disability Job Month. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. Now, I wanted to ask, in what areas can individuals receive instruction through the Lighthouse's Job Placement Program?
There are actually several ways that, one, we ask that the individuals have a case open with the Department of Rehabilitation Services and get a referral for job placement. And once we get that in place, then we work on several aspects, looking that the individual has orientation and mobility skills so that they can get around the workplace. We will look at working on the resume, and I'll let Joe jump in.
Yeah, we'll also do interview skills, computer training, to get their typing skills up, their computer navigation. We'll do customer service training, and just kind of make sure that they have all the skills they need to be employed.
And I just want to add that I forgot to mention earlier, of course, address any barriers that may come up in order to make sure that when looking for a job that it's successful.
Mm-hmm. And how does one get a case opened, become a Doors client?
There's an 800 number they can call to open that case. And then they'll go through an intake process on that end.
And do you know what the requirements are, or?
I'd say for one, it would be that they are visually impaired or have another disability. And we can definitely look into getting that number.
Yep. Yeah, we can definitely get you that number.
And then that case is referred to the Lighthouse's employment program, and that's done through the client's counselor.
Correct.
At Doors.
Yes.
Yep.
And that case, once they're done with all the paperwork and get approved, they would be assigned to a Doors counselor. They'd let the counselor know that they are looking to get back into work or looking for other work. And then we'd get a referral sent out to us, and we would take it from there.
And how long does the training last?
It's very individualized. It depends on what the client's goals are, their skill level, all that kind of thing.
It also depends on what kind of work they are looking for. So some markets, there are more opportunities available than others. So, and, you know, we try to make sure that these skills that they're ready for, we're not just going to throw people in. We're going to work with you to make sure that it's a successful outcome.
Mm-hmm. And now, after an individual completes this training program, are they immediately placed in one of the many call center jobs at the Lighthouse?
Not necessarily. If that's the type of work that the individual is looking for, then that's definitely an opportunity we can consider, but it's not, you know, anyone that comes into the door looking for work that we say, okay, to the call center you go.
We don't guarantee anybody a job. Mm-hmm. Once they go through the training, if they're interested in the customer service route here at the Lighthouse, then they can take our computer assessment and we can refer them to HR that way. They can go through the interview process and everything. But, you know, like I said, no job is ever guaranteed out of the gate.
Now, you primarily work with the Doors individuals who refer to the Lighthouse, but do you ever get a chance to approach employers and talk to them about hiring some of the individuals who've gone through the program?
Most definitely. We will, sometimes we'll get calls from employers, or, I mean, it can happen anytime that you're, you know, out visiting a restaurant, store, whatever it may be, or we'll place a call and talk to them about the skills and what people with disabilities can bring to the table as an employee.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes we'll go to events. I know over the summer we went to the Access Chicago event, met some employers there. So it's just kind of getting out in the community and just kind of, you know, seeing who's out there.
Now, I know that there are employers who might have reservations about hiring individuals with visual impairment. What do you tell them? Why should they choose a disabled individual as an employee?
Statistically, it shows that people with a disability will more likely stick around for a long term, and that they are more dedicated. Mm-hmm. And with the assistance of adaptive technology, they're able to perform the job just as well as their coworkers who are without a disability.
Mm-hmm. They have an appreciation for having a job that sometimes people without a disability don't have, because it is statistic. You know, it is harder to get one with a disability, so that they have that dedication to the company, to the organization.
Especially because if you think about it, they have overcome challenges previously, so they're more likely to face the challenges on the job as well.
And Adnata, you mentioned assistive technology. We talked
Yes.
a lot about that here on the show. Now, is there ever a time where you might expect an employer to provide that technology, or what's it like trying to get the technology the person might need integrated into a particular job's system?
Well, even though two people may have the same disability, they would experience it differently. So everyone's needs is different. It's a case-by-case situation. So with this in mind, we would work with our clients ahead of time to talk about the accommodations that they may need and then encourage them to talk to the potential employer about what they would need.
All right. Now, as we know, what is it, now about 70-80% of individuals with visual impairment are unemployed but want to work.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an opportunity, I think, for individuals, if they would like some sort of placement training, mm-hmm. they could contact you guys. So what number would they use if they have questions?
So they can always call my number, which would be 312-997-3685.
And would that be good for employers who are also looking to hire?
Yep. Yep, we can take calls from employers or potential customers, and if they have clients. If you would like to contact DRS directly, their number is 1-800-843-6154 to open a case and get started with that process.
1 in 6 of the wounded U.S. soldiers evacuated from Iraq and Afghanistan battle zones suffered eye injuries. That's the highest rate of eye injuries since the Civil War. The National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, NLS, part of the Library of Congress, is stepping up to help. NLS works with military hospitals, rehab centers, and groups such as the Blinded Veterans Association to make sure that service members who have sacrificed so much for their country can still experience the pleasures of reading. Through the free NLS Talking Book Program, eligible veterans have access to thousands of bestsellers, biographies, westerns, self-help books, and more, and a variety of magazines. Veterans receive priority service from NLS, but any U.S. resident who is blind, has low vision, or cannot hold a book because of a physical illness or disability may sign up for the program. To learn more about what NLS can do for you or a friend or loved one, visit www.loc.gov/NLS or call 1-888-NLS-READ.
Well, welcome back to... What is this?
Why do you sound like Dracula?
The Beacon.
You sound like Dracula right now. Is this our Halloween special and I didn't know it?
You did.
I did?
You didn't.
You didn't tell me that this is our Halloween special.
Well, actually, the show, what we're doing, is not a Halloween special. Oh. But there is a special Halloween costume party that is coming up. It's an annual thing. And it's taking place at 222 Waukegan Road in Glenview. And do you know what that address leads to?
Lighthouse North.
Exactly.
Yes. I know my lighthouse locations.
Yes, from 1 to 3 p.m. And this would be Saturday, October 27th, 2018. Suggested donation, $5 per adult. Please RSVP no later than October 19th. You know, I thought I was so perfect when you brought TJ in, because that way I could ask what costumes you would be wearing for Halloween. And by the way, if you do want to RSVP to the Halloween costume party, you can contact Shelley Hamer. She's the manager, Children, Youth, Enrichment Programs out there at the Lighthouse North at 222 Waukegan Road in Glenview. And her number is 847-510-6200.
Beautiful. Hey, Bubs.
What?
What are you going to be for Halloween?
Ninjago.
What's Ninjago?
Lego Ninjago.
What character are you going to be?
Cole.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, wow.
somebody's a little bit out of shape right now because he wants a snack immediately, and I said we have to wait 10 minutes, so I'm getting a little bit of a toot, but if you didn't catch that, we're going to be Cole from Ninjago.
Well, just wait until Halloween. I know it's a long time to wait, but you'll have plenty of snacks.
But here we are. Halloween, coming up. Be fun.
That's right. And not only that, but what's coming up next is What's Highly Recommended with Sandy and Brett. They sit down and talk about something wonderful, I'm sure.
Good morning, everyone. This is Sandy Murillo.
I am Brett Shishkoff.
And welcome to a new edition of It's Highly Recommended. Well, Halloween is almost here. We're, what, about...
Two, 3 weeks away.
2-3 weeks, yeah. Somewhere in between. And I know, Brett, that, you know, last week you spoke about a play that you had seen at Drury Lane.
Mm-hmm. Little Shop of Horrors, yep.
And this week you will be speaking about Frankenstein. Is that correct?
Yes, Frankenstein.
Well, not the character itself, but the play.
Right. The play was up in on the north side of Chicago at Lifeline Theater. It's a pretty small theater. It's up like, it's on Glenwood, but it's near like Sheridan and what's the other intersection? Like you take Lakeshore Drive all the way up until you get to Sheridan, and then you, pretty much just continue to go straight, and it's on Glenwood, which is just a couple minutes from Loyola University up there.
I was going to say, so way, way north.
Yes,
there.
Very much so.
Yeah.
But it's one of my favorite theaters, actually. They're very good at their, like, touch tours. Emily is the audio describer. She actually works for the theater, and she's been doing it for about a year now.
Okay.
And why I like working with Emily, actually, it's interesting because we were kind of talking about, like, feedback last week, about giving the audio describers feedback, helping them to grow in what they do. And Emily's one of the ones that always comes up to me after the show and is like, okay, let me have it. I'm ready for you. And so she's got a good sense of humor about it. Mm-hmm. She wants to continue to improve her craft. And so I love going up there because I feel like they're really trying hard to just hear what we have to say and continuing to improve their services. What I really like that they do is before the shows, they actually announce that this is one of their audio describe performances. If you know anyone who's visually impaired or blind, we offer this service. Touch tours are a way for people to be able to come out and, you know, touch the set, hear a description of the set, meet some of the actors and actresses beforehand, as like a description of themselves, what they're wearing, and their vocal tone, so they have an idea of who's, you know, saying what during the play.
Well, see, that's great. You know, mm-hmm. I had never heard of a theater doing that, but that's wonderful, you know, because there what might be members of the audience that might know someone with vision loss, or who knows, maybe they themselves have vision loss and might be unaware.
Yeah, this was actually a recommendation I had after, okay. I think, the first or second time
sure.
going there.
Yeah.
Because they do a little announcement beforehand, but they never really, like, went in detail of what audio description or touch tour is and how it helps the blind or visually impaired.
Yeah.
And so that's what I kind of let Erica Foster, she's the one who's in charge of accessibility up there. And so she's the one who's been working with me as well. So both of them, Emily and Erica, are just, they're great because they just want to hear what we have to say, and I'm one of the ones who voluntarily gives my recommendations to them of how they can continue to improve. And so I love going up to the theater because they're very welcoming. They always make me and my family, whoever's coming with me, just feel like we're right at home. And quite a few of the other people who come in, they know them all by name. They've seen them a few times. Guide dogs are welcome. Mm-hmm. They do have wheelchair accessibility.
Sure.
They also do offer, I believe it's open captioned performances as well.
Sure.
But to get into the play, Frankenstein, the Mary Shelley's Frankenstein that you're used to in the book, it's sort of based off that. You do have the Frankenstein character, but instead of Victor Frankenstein, the doctor who's making this, you know, kind of hodgepodge monster type thing, it's now Victoria Frankenstein.
Oh,
and
okay.
She is grieving the loss of her father. Her father passes away.
Mm-hmm.
And she is trying to find a way to bring him back. And so this is her way of being able to build this creature and trying to bring back her father into this creature. But what ends up happening is this creature ends up feeding on the people in her life.
Mm.
And it's very dark and dreamlike, and it really does touch on, like, when you go through a loss and the way that you want to try and figure out any way to bring that thing back. And why this play spoke to me, anyone who's gone through like a big, huge loss, like myself, I lost my sight a few years ago. And for me, I had in my mind, I always wanted to like, oh, if after this surgery, I'll have my sight back.
Mm-hmm.
Or after this next surgery, I'll have my sight back.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, maybe after I heal, I'll be fine and my sight will return.
Yeah.
And so you're always trying to figure out like these bargaining, you know, all these different ways of hopefully having something come back to you. So even with the loss of a person, you know, a family member, a friend, somebody who was close to you, sometimes you go into such deep grief and depression that it's extremely difficult to get out of. And that's what this play really touches on is how do you as a person, how can you get out of that deep dark depression? And so each person in her life is in this almost dreamlike state that she's in while Frankenstein is becoming stronger because he is absorbing different parts of her.
Yeah.
So the different people who are in her life are actually different parts of herself.
Mm-hmm.
So that she has a younger brother, that's her innocence, and her innocence gets lost. And then there's her friend has the faith portion of her, and she loses her faith. And so, like, that's basically how they have this Frankenstein character who's wanting to kind of, like, have her admit to herself of he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just a very, very well-done play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my brother and my dad, they thought it was okay.
Okay.
So I don't think it's for everybody, and so I like to ask whoever comes with me what they think of a play just to get an idea of how some people would react to it.
Sure.
And so for me, I think if you're a person who has gone through a big loss and you just want to have something or someone kind of portray something that maybe other people don't quite understand, this would put some things into perspective. And it does have an ending that you definitely can leave satisfied with the way it ends. I want people to go see, so I'm not going to actually explain the way it ends.
Yep.
But yes, it is something where if you have somebody in your life who has lost someone and you're trying to figure out how they might be handling a certain situation, this play kind of shows the inner workings of the way somebody might be grieving in a science fiction type way.
Right, right. Well, it's an interesting take.
Yeah.
You know, because when you said Frankenstein, I just imagined the classic.
Right,
you know, the
cloak,
but in, you know, play form. But that's interesting. That's unique. And do you know how long it'll be running for, the show?
I believe it's through the end of the month.
Okay.
Yeah. So they have all the way in through the end of October to be able to go and check it out. So you have a couple more weeks. And they do have some children's performances. They're actually going to be doing Banacula. Which is a bunny Dracula, basically.
Right,
Banacula,
right.
I guess, is the proper way of saying it. It's based off of a book, and so it's adorable and cute, and so I'll probably be up there. It's November 4th is that audio describe performances,
okay.
So any parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles who are looking to maybe bring their kids out to something fun, this is like a four and up type show, so I'll probably be bringing my niece Charlie with me to that audio describe and touch tour show, and it's fun to be at that performance because the kids who come in, Lifeline does a very good job of getting a good amount of kids coming in.
Oh, good.
And so if it'd be nice to start seeing a lot more of the visually impaired and blind.
Sure.
If we can get those same numbers that they get for the kid shows coming out for these other performances, like, I don't think any of the theaters would ever like think, is this actually working? Because some of them, you know, are having trouble getting their programs up and running.
Yeah.
And it's hard because there are so many theaters now that are offering it that now we have the options to pick and choose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A couple years ago when I first started this, there was only maybe a handful.
Yes.
And so now there's, I think we're up to almost like 30 different theaters in the Chicagoland area that offer either a touch tour or touch tour and audio description together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just awesome to see that this has grown in such a fast amount of time. And all of these theaters seem to work really, really well together, that they have a nice network that they work well and hand-to-hand with each other.
Well, and you're, Brett, on a mission to help promote audio description, accessibility.
Oh, for sure.
Yep, you sure are. But so is this a play that you highly recommend for certain?
I would recommend it to a specific group of people. I think it's something that is not for everybody. If you're looking for an action-packed horror-type play, this might not be the version of Frankenstein you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for more of a drama-based, something a little bit different than what you would expect from a Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, this will definitely bring you into a world that is a bit different than what you were expecting. So that is the way I will leave it, is if you're just interested to see what could be done with Frankenstein in a different route, I would say, yeah, you should go and check it out. And like I said, they're great up at Lifeline, and they do a lot of books that basically they turn books into plays. They've done some, I think they did one of the Chronicles of Narnia books they turned into a play. I've seen Anna Karenina, which is a longer play, a longer book as well. But yeah, they've done Neverwhere. So they've done a good handful of plays, and that's what they get all of their plays from, are books, and even the children's shows are based off of children's books as well.
Sure.
My name is Brett Shishkoff.
I am Sandy Murillo.
And you have been listening to It's Highly Recommended on the Lighthouse Beacon.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
Welcome back to The Beacon. This is Lainey Kleeman here with Brian Hawkins and a little bit of a grumpy TJ Kleeman over there in the corner. TJ wants a snack. Poor Bubba's. Anyway, we are coming back to the show. Thank you to Brett and Sandy for their highly recommended segment. It got cold this week, so hopefully whatever they're going to recommend for all of us, we can be warm and cozy indoors, preferably under a blanket in front of a fire.
Yes, I would highly recommend heat.
Yes.
Just a little bit, especially when you wake up in the morning.
Ooh, baby.
You have to get, take a shower and everything, yeah.
You get on your fuzzy socks and your comfy blanket. That's my kind of day.
Yeah, makes you think about colder times, so you have to prepare for that. Particularly, I was thinking about last February. You know, Lainey, last February, the National Library Service launched a new marketing campaign aimed at increasing awareness of the Talking Book and Braille program. And what that is that folks can get various books and also DVDs. And out of 150,000 Illinoisans, only about 17,000 are estimated to be eligible. And all they have to do to become eligible is to sign up for the Talking Book services. So
phenomenal. That launched a year ago? Or a year ago, February?
Well, not...
Or February?
Not the service, just the fact that they launched some radio spots and television spots telling people that this service was available because not a lot of people are using it. And so they suggest that you go to the National Library Service and sign up for the Talking Book and Braille program, which, of course, would be administered through Illinois.
That's very valuable.
Yes, and so you can get... And we do that for Chris Radio. We get books on tape and also DVDs, and there's a lot of good stories. But I am certain that none of those stories, maybe a few, might be able to compete with your stories.
Oh, yes. Well, I don't come up with the stories. Otherwise, I would, you know.
Well, yours are true stories.
I know.
Based on real life. So those are often the best.
That's true. Those are the most warm and fuzzy stories out there, knowing that this is actually really happening. Do you remember the story I did? It's been a few months now, but it was about a teenager who worked in a store who allowed a teen with autism to help him stock the shelves because the teen with autism was fascinated with stocking shelves. Do you remember that story?
No.
It was a while ago. It was a feel-good story. The dad took the video. I guess the son who had autism had a very difficult time going to the grocery store. It was too overstimulating, and so it was a challenge. But he was enthralled with stocking shelves. And so there was a teenager who worked at this grocery store who noticed that there was a fascination and so invited him over to come and help him stock the shelves.
Mm-hmm.
This is a follow-up to that story. So the story gets even better. An employee who allows an autistic teen to stock the shelves, the video that I was talking about originally goes viral. And let me get to the story here. A young man's simple gesture of kindness towards a teen with autism has resulted in an outpouring of recognition and praise for both of them. Jordan Taylor works at Roos's Market grocery store in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He was restocking orange juice when he noticed Jack Ryan Edwards watching him. Jack Ryan, who is a 17-year-old boy with autism, was fascinated by Taylor's work. So Jordan Taylor, who is the employee, thought that maybe he would like some orange juice. So Jordan offered him some orange juice. He gave him a bottle, but Jack Ryan really didn't have any interest in that. And Jordan didn't get any response. So Jordan then thought, he took a different angle and asked if Jack Ryan wanted to help him stock the coolers. So Jack Ryan kind of gave a verbal confirmation, and so they spent the next 30 minutes carefully and patiently working with one another to restock the shelves. So that's where the story ended originally. Jack Ryan's father, so this is kind of the addendum, Jack Ryan's father was so blown away by the compassionate gesture that he shot a video of the interaction. And then, of course, Jack Ryan's older sister, Delaney, posted the videos on Facebook praising Jordan for his kindness. And she captioned it, "We all know autism makes going out difficult, and sometimes grocery stores can be a challenge. He could have ignored him. He could have made an excuse and said he couldn't allow him to help. But instead, he let him have his moment and in turn gave my family a moment we will never forget. It might seem like nothing to others, but as you can hear my dad say in the video, I'm watching a miracle in action." So Delaney posted the video. She also started a GoFundMe page to raise money for Jordan's college fund. Post went viral. Thousands of people donated to this campaign, thanking the young man for his compassion. And 1 week into the page's creation, the campaign had raised $120,000, all of which will be going toward Jordan's education. Although he says despite this, he still plans to work at the grocery store. Donors from Baton Rouge to Bangkok have been inspired by Jordan and Jack's story, said GoFundMe spokesperson Bobby Whitehorn. In less than 24 hours, over 1,000 people donated nearly $50,000 from all across the U.S.
Wow.
And all around the world. Not only that, a local credit union donated a car to Taylor's family so he would have a means of transportation in the future. And if that isn't enough, and I think this is actually one of the best parts of the story, a representative from Roos's Market saw the video and reached out to Jack Ryan and offered him a job at the store. Because of Jordan, a conversation about inclusivity in the workforce for people with disabilities has been started, not only across the nation, but all over the world. And I hope this, it ends with Delaney saying, I hope Jordan and Jack Ryan's story inspires others to include those that are different across all settings and in all parts of life. So I just love that. It's just, the story just kept getting better. Like one thing after another kept this story just building momentum. So you got two kids out of this who are benefiting tremendously from the actions of one compassionate teenager. And I just think that it was lovely. It touched my heart. It gave me the goosebumps just to read the follow-up to Jack Ryan and Jordan's story. And I hope it did brightened your day too.
It has that awe
factor. It does have the awe factor. It's officially an awe factor seal of approval.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that story.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Can't wait until next week until we hear another.
Thank you, Brian.
You're listening to The Beacon, a public service of the Chicago Lighthouse. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We've got just a little bit more.
Exercise is hard. So is maintaining a healthy diet. Of course, neither is half as hard as dying. Sadly, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and stroke kill nearly a million people a year. Even sadder, most of these deaths are preventable with a few lifestyle changes, including regular activity, healthier eating, and not smoking. Talk to your doctor about your risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease, and if your doctor recommends lifestyle changes or medication, listen. The reason so many die is because not enough are willing to change. You can stop it, starting right now. It's your life. Listen to your doctor. Eat better. Get moving. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
We're wrapping it up. I was about to just close it on out.
No,
I was going to exclude Luke's Laboratory. I can never do that.
You cannot.
It's a staple of our show. It's the highlight. People tune in to hear what's going on in the Lighthouse store.
And he puts so much effort into going out and finding all the accessible technology and learning about it so that he can demonstrate it for individuals who come to the store, or if they request it, he go out to them. So I took a page out of his book and I did a little investigating. You remember last week, I think the week before, we had a question. We were wondering what the term heavy appetizers.
Yes, I remember. I recall this.
What that referred to. And the reason we did was because the Chicago Lighthouse Junior Board invites everybody to attend Sips for Sight. It's a wine, beer, and spirits tasting extravaganza. And it takes place Wednesday, October 24th. At the Erie Cafe at 536 West Erie Street from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. Now, the ticket price is $40 or $350 for 10 tickets. So there'll be wine, beer, and spirits tasting, and the complimentary valet parking is available. Proceeds will go to the Lighthouse Children's Program, and you can contact our very special events manager, Lindsay Inglis, at 312-447-3448 if you'd like to get tickets. Or you can email her at lindsay.inglis@chicagolighthouse.org or go online at chicagolighthouse.org/events/sipsforsight/ and purchase tickets there. So there is beer. And there is wine and spirits tasting and heavy appetizers. So I actually grabbed Lindsay and I drug her into the studio and I put it to her.
Good for you.
What are heavy appetizers? Whew. This is what she had to say.
For appetizers, we are going to have some Italian food. So we're looking at Italian sausage and vegetables, meatballs, and cheesy bread, things like that.
So there you have it, the complete story.
I feel so much better now. Sleepless nights.
I knew it was bothering
ruminating
you.
About what possibly heavy appetizers could mean.
And that's good because it goes along with the spirits tasting, so that means the folks can be responsible and, you know, not overdo it, and be safe after the event. So don't forget about Sips for Sight.
Just lovely. Like
we will not forget about Luke's Laboratory.
Never again.
And unfortunately, our buddy Juan is not able to do the segment with him this week, so I sat down with him, and it went something like this. Well, good morning, Luke. How are you?
I am doing good. The weather is changing, but I am keeping positive and finding some nice indoor tasks to do. So keeping busy.
Yeah, this is, I guess, the rainy season for Chicago.
Indeed.
But the topic of date, and there's a lot of folks who've been wanting to find out, what's the latest in technology, adaptive technology?
Well, the latest that I want to talk about this week is RevoSight from Zumax. And Zumax are a company from Asia who make assistive technology. And they are coming out with not one, not two, but three new wearables. And the first of those is called RevoSight. And I was very lucky to get hands-on time with it at the start of the week. I was the first person in the United States to get that exposure. And I came away quite impressed.
So what exactly does this do?
So imagine a visor that goes in front of the eyes, sort of like a welding visor, but not quite as large. And inside the visor are two electronic screens. And of course, there is a camera in the front. And what's happening is we are looking into the electronic screens. We are seeing whatever the camera is looking at. And we are able to zoom in and zoom out, increase the contrast, change the colors, and so on and so forth, using the control panel, which is connected. And there are other wearable devices like this available. For example, eSight is a very well-known one. There is New Eyes. There is the Jordi. There is Iris Vision. So there's a number of these on the market. But RevoSight is the latest and possibly the greatest. That will depend on what the clients think. But from my own personal view, I thought it worked very well. The screens are nice and large. And one of the great features of it is that you can walk while still wearing it, which the only other wearable which you can do that with currently is eSight, and eSight costs $10,000. This is probably going to cost somewhere around $5,000, so about half of that price. And it also has another very cool feature, which is a kind of a line outlining mode. It's quite hard to describe, but if you turn on this mode, it will put bold black outlines around the things that you're looking at to make them stand out more. The best way to think about it is a comic strip where they are making the characters stand out by giving them broad black outlines. It does that, but to the live video, so whatever you're looking at is highlighted. And I haven't seen that before, and I was quite impressed with that feature. So those people, particularly with central vision loss, who are looking for an electronic pair of glasses that can help them see things better in the distance, see things better up close, then this might be the right tool for them.
And is this something that can be demonstrated at the Tool for the Living store here at the Lighthouse?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Now, it hasn't actually released yet, so I got my hands on it before it had even released, but it is slated to release around the end of October, so the end of this month. And as soon as we get it, then we will be putting it up onto our website. I will be making a YouTube video on it. And at that point, people will be able to come and try it out for themselves. And I would very much encourage people to do so, because it's always nice to get your hands on the latest technology. And also, you know, if it works for you, then it could be a very versatile tool to allow you to do a number of different things.
Okay. And what else? Any other products out there that you want to mention?
There was a there is a kind of interesting handheld electronic device called the Visolux 12, which we've had for, I want to say 2 or 3 months now. It's a 12-inch portable electronic magnifier, and 12 inches is very large as far as portable electronic electronic magnifiers go. And the thing that's kind of interesting about this one is you can use it to view things in the distance, which other handheld electronic magnifiers can also do. But this particular one, you actually use a camcorder on a tripod that plugs into the Visolux with an HDMI cable. And now you're using the Visolux's screen to view the image from the camcorder. Sounds kind of weird, but the great thing about it is the quality of the image for distance viewing is really, really good because it's using the camcorder's, magnification. And so you get a lot of zoom, and it's a good quality picture. Definitely the best zoom for distance that I've seen on any handheld. And so for those people, maybe students who need to see the whiteboard, or say that you're a teacher and you need to see the students putting their hands up when you're teaching, then you could point the camera toward them and see them. So various different applications like that, I think it could be really useful.
All right. And you've had all week. Is there anyone, any particular customer that stood out to you?
We do. We have a customer of the week. And this week it is a lady by the name of Haley Pelletier. And she is from Chicago. And she's only 17 years old. And she has been visually impaired for most of her life. And she actually came twice over the last 2 weeks, once to see RevoSight when I had it here, and then again to see eSight and Iris Vision. So she had a look at all of the wearable devices, and she's already familiar with a number of different assistive technology devices. Being younger, of course, she is quite keen on various different types of technology. And we spent quite a bit of time doing things like trying watching TV with these devices, trying to read with these devices, trying to walk around with these devices, and her results seem to be that she actually found the RevoSight to be the best out of all of those, which was interesting. We had a lot of fun together, and it was a pleasure to work with her.
All right, Haley. All right, thanks for coming by. He's Luke Scriven, and this has been Luke's Laboratory. Thanks very much for coming in, Luke. We'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good.
Right here on The Beacon.
Hi, everyone. This is Alex Trebek, the host of Jeopardy. If your question is, how can someone who is blind enjoy the latest magazine writing and not have to pay a penny? Then the answer is Choice Magazine Listening. Every other month, we'll send you hours of stimulating, unabridged articles, short stories, and poetry from writers such as Russell Baker, Derek Walcott, Joyce Carol Oates, Bill Moyers, and Margaret Atwood. These free special speed cassettes are sent to anyone unable to read because of physical limitations. If you're interested, write today to Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. We'll also tell you how to get the necessary free Library of Congress talking book player. So write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. Or call 516-883-8280. That's 516-883-8280. Thank you.
Exercise is hard. So is maintaining a healthy diet. Of course, neither is half as hard as dying. Sadly, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and stroke kill nearly 1 million people a year. Even sadder, most of these deaths are preventable with a few lifestyle changes, including regular activity, healthier eating, and not smoking. Talk to your doctor about your risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. And if your doctor recommends lifestyle changes or medication, listen. The reason so many die is because not enough are willing to change. You can stop it, starting right now. It's your life. Listen to your doctor. Eat better. Get moving. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
Disability is something most people don't like to think about. But a 35-year-old man has a 1 in 5 chance of becoming disabled during his working lifetime. A woman of the same age has a 1 in 4 chance. If you become disabled and are unable to work, you may apply for Social Security disability benefits. There are two ways you can apply. The fastest and most convenient way is online at www.socialsecurity.gov. Or you may call 1-800-772-1213 to make an appointment to apply at your local Social Security office or to set up an appointment for someone to take your application over the phone. Learn more about disability benefits and take advantage of the helpful Disability Starter Kit at www.socialsecurity.gov/disability. That's www.socialsecurity.gov/disability.
Well, we know it's time to wrap up the show when my kid is digging through the garbage with his hand out of restlessness and impatience. So...
Well, there's lots of interesting relics in the garbage.
I'm sure that is a very diplomatic way of putting it. I thank you for that. We have reached our time limit. Fortunately, it coincides with the end of the show. So there we go. Perfect. Thank you very much to Brett and Sandy for all their contributions to the show. Many thanks as well to you, Brian. You were a fountain of information today.
A fountain?
You just had one thing after another, like rolling off your tongue. It was fabulous. So thank you for all of that wonderful information and for producing and doing your magic as you do. Well, if I'm going to say that, I got to say it the way Bill would say it, which is the voodoo that you do. The tribute to Bill always lives on. Many thanks as well to Dr. Janet Slick, who keeps our show on the air week after week after week. And I think that's going to do it for us. Mm-hmm. If you hear a little slamming in the background, that's my son telling me it's time for a snack. So,
is that approval or disapproval for the show?
He's a delight, let me tell you. He is a delightful child.
He looks like Superman with the glasses.
He does have a little Superman vibe about him. That's true. He's a good kid. He just gets real hangry. Like, you know, the whole hangry, being hungry and angry, that's... He really embodies that when it happens to him. So we'll go take care of it. In the meantime, have a wonderful week. Be safe. Stay warm. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. And we will see you next week.